Welcome to the Amanda Rollard Show, where we work together to support abundant living in all areas of your life, body, mind, family, finances, and community. Come join us and get your salt back.
Welcome, everybody, to the Amanda Rollard Show. We are so happy that you stopped by for another episode. And again, we have Salt Sisters today, where I am spending time with my best friend in the world, Heather. Hey, Heather.
Hello.
There is nothing more exciting and fun for me after how many years? 30 plus years.
30 plus years.
Yeah, that we've been best friends, that we get to do this together. We call this time Salt Sisters because we say this is where best friends and common sense reside.
Yes.
And not only that, you know, I wanted to, you know, talk to the audience a little bit about why salt? Why Salt Sisters? Why, you know, let's talk salt. To the audience, SALT is an acronym. And for us, it stands for supporting abundant living today. But really, we want our salt every day. And you know, there are so many areas that we say, you know, you need your salt. You need to get your salt back. And really, it's passion. What are you doing for your mind? What are you doing for your body? How are you improving your family? How are your finances affected by your passion? And what are we doing within our communities to make them a better place? So those are the big five that encompass our salt. And we have a very special guest today. And Heather, this is one of your very special friends and guests. So I'm going to let you introduce him. But man, oh man, don't miss this, guys, because we are talking about an expert with our furry friends. And Heather, we are with two furry friends of yours, right?
Yes. We've got Frank to the left, Lady to the right. So if you hear any snoring, you hear any sounds.
Well, and the snoring is only because they're the Frenchies, right?
That's right.
They can't help it. But without further ado, we need to introduce our guest today. He is very special in the world of dog training, dog whisperers.
I'm going to tell you from personal experience, this is my friend, Jonathan Willem.
Hello.
And can I call you a friend?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
I got Jonathan's information from a dear friend of mine and their family. And of course, they shared all these great experiences they had with Jonathan. And I said, I need somebody that can help me with my dogs and their behavior. So I contacted Jonathan, and that's kind of how we started. And so Jonathan worked with my dogs, but more importantly, he's taught me how to have trust with my dogs. And that was very important to me. Now, Jonathan had these expectations for the dogs, and you're part of that process. So you have to do the training as well. So Jonathan kind of trains the human and the dog. So it does depend on your, you know, your commitment to your dogs and their training. And sometimes dogs aren't easy to train. And sometimes, especially French bulldogs. And so Jonathan was very honest with me and would say, you know, I don't know that Lady's going to be able to do this. Frankie may be able to do this, but we'll give Lady a pass on this. But what I love that Jonathan did for our family and what he did for me is that he has allowed me to enjoy my dogs more than I thought I could. He taught me how to trust my dogs. Oh, and my gosh. I don't know that I ever would have gotten to that place. Yes, he can teach them how to not jump on the door and how to kind of sit and do all those basic things. But he really taught me a lot more about my animals. And so for that, I'm very grateful to him. And also, he's just a really cool dude anyway. He's just a great guy. So anyway, Jonathan, we're going to ask you all kinds of questions about dogs.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, first of all, what an amazing intro. So I got to know a little bit more about you, Jonathan. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got started actually in training dogs?
Kind of a heartbreaking story. My little brother at 4 years old was attacked by his grandfather's Rottweiler.
Oh my goodness.
And it bit him in the face. And everybody, I mean, just, you know, society in general gives dogs a bad name. Oh, they're animals. Correct. They are animals, but they are a product of your environment, their environment, mm-hmm. rather. If you have an aggressive, demanding environment, guess what? Your dog is going to mm-hmm. be aggressive and demanding. Time, attention, treats, food. This is where you see aggression around food and toys and stuff. It's like, hey, this is mine. Leave it alone. So when he got bit, it was kind of like a godsend, if you will. A company from the town that I was in, Landmark Retrievers at the time, I was building their perimeter, their fence to keep these dogs in. And I was out there working and just kind of like, you know, I love animals. It's all animals. It doesn't matter what it is. I have a connection, pretty deep connection with all animals. So I'm out there trying to put this fence up. It's a wrought iron fence. So there's a lot of cutting torches, welding and stuff like that. So I look up, you know, one morning and I got 20 dogs just sitting, staring at me, and they're all happy. And they're, you know, they're just like, hey, man, you can speak to us. Are you going to, you're going to pet us? Are you going to talk to us or what? So I kind of ignored them. I'm there to do my job. You know, I can't, as much as I'd love to, I can't love on all those dogs. So at the end of the day, I was talking to the owner of the facility. I said, can I just love on these animals? He said, yeah, but I had a question. I said, yes, sir. He said, I see how the animals respond to you and react to you. Is what you're doing full time? I said, what I'm doing, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, the fence business. I said, no, sir, I'm just helping. He said, can I hire you on full time?
Oh, wow.
So I started the very next morning, and it has been a blessing of a journey ever since.
Did not know that.
So, you know, there was times I've had, you know, illnesses, whatnot, and kind of took a break away from dog training and try to explore, you know, different paths in life. Like we all do, you know, yeah. We got to find our place and kind of find what we like my journey was to learn as much as I can. You know, why not? The information's there. You just got to apply yourself. So I had a heart attack at 26 and I decided that I needed to slow down. Mm-hmm. The work that I was doing was not for me. I mean, it really wasn't. I figured that out the hard way because I was like, wow, I put in all these man hours, all this hard labor, and I'm not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it's got me. 26, get ready to have heart surgery because I'm stressing myself out for it is what it is for a company that just doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've all been there. That's why we've left the businesses. There was, you know, no benefits for us. So I talked to the owner again. He's like, hey, are you available to start training again? Yes, sir. Went back to start dog training. And the funny thing is I'm not your average dog trainer. Okay. I don't believe in using crops to teach them to sit or fetch, which is, you know, for gun dogs. I'm more of these guys are our children. They're our babies. They act no different than kids, you know, especially you might have straight A students or you might have Fs, but even the Fs just want that human contact.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got into it. There was a connection between animals and I that I just couldn't ignore. And I love it. They know our feelings. They understand our emotions and they just want us, you know, 23 years. I haven't met a dog that just says, you know what? Today, I just want to be bad. I just want to be bad. There's always something underlying that we haven't seen or noticed. So that's how I got into it. And
what a story. And you know, just as you're talking here, I'm hearing this for the first time, but that's one of the reasons why what we do is so important when we talk about salt, because if you're not passionate and it's not coursing through your veins, it's not worth it because your body took a toll, your health, all these things.
And you realize you only have one life.
You do.
Why spend it doing things that make you miserable,
exactly,
unhealthy, and unhappy?
That don't align. And I'm sitting here, guys, you can't see it, but I'm sitting here with this Frenchie who has completely rolled over on his back as Jonathan is massaging him and talking to him. And all he wants to do is be a straight A student today.
He said the teacher's in town. Oh, and don't forget.
Oh, yeah.
All she is doing is just listening. No snoring.
Yeah.
None of that. When I say something, she just looks.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
yes, listening.
Yeah. And she's like, really okay, I want to be an A today too.
She wants to be a good student as well.
So, oh my gosh. Okay. So there's so many people that just say, hey, maybe I don't have a dog, but there's dog lovers everywhere. If somebody's just right now considering, hey, I might want to get a pet. I might want to get a dog. What advice, steps, preparation could you offer at that stage of the game before we even get into, hey, I have a dog and all this. So like, what if somebody's just considering that?
I see so many dogs in so many homes. You can have the right dog, wrong home. You can also have the wrong home, right dog.
Okay, what do you mean by that? That's really good.
Okay, so you can have a dog, we'll say Frank, for instance. He was a little bit nuts. You know, I feel like he's from Boston. He's got that Frankie Four Fingers attitude. You know, when I met him, he was nuts at the door. Oh my God. Okay. So what I mean by that is you have the right dog, wrong home. Wrong home meaning the family's not really into him. You know, they just let him out, you know, feed him occasionally, give him a treat. They don't really accept him for who he is. And he's really a good guy. You know, yeah, he's a mobster for the dog bones, but he's not getting that fulfillment in life. Now, when I say that, for every 7 days of our lives is one day of theirs. Imagine how much work that is.
Wow.
Without being able to express or talk. So what I suggest is you make sure you're ready for that commitment. It's no different than having kids. Just because you don't have to change a diaper doesn't mean you won't have to clean up a mess over in a corner or, you know, in a hidden spot. And a lot of times is they need their privacy. And secondly is, man, I don't want to disappoint them. So I'm going to do this in a place that maybe they won't find it.
Hmm.
It's not, hey, this is your fault. You know,
yeah.
If that was the case, it's right there in the middle of the floor. Guess what? You didn't pay attention to me. You didn't give me the time. So number one is make sure you're ready for this commitment. Two, I mean, this is my biggest pet peeve. Stop going to designer breeders. Okay. You're making these people rich. And all meanwhile, our
animal shelters
are just overwhelmed because people thought, oh, I'm ready for this commitment. And guess what? Boom, dog's gone because they feel that one, they're incompetent of being able to take care of that animal or family member. Two, they just absolutely do not want that type of responsibility. It's like, man, I got to buy food. I got to get water every day. I got to, you know, take them to the groomers. And honestly, they see it as a nuisance. You're really holding me back. Well, you're kind of shallow, you know. Make sure that this is what you want to do. Thirdly, when you do go, you know, animal hunting, whether it be a bird, cat, pig, dog, you know, whatever, none of them are any different. They all just want our love. I mean, we have these appendages that can make them really feel good. You know, we're scratching them all over, even birds. So when you go, you know, scouting for your next family member, make sure that you have a bond with that animal. And what I mean by this is there's going to be several in this animal shelter, but there's only going to be one, maybe two, that really just keep on coming back to you and like, hey, I can be your best friend. I feel what you're putting off. I feel these vibes. And that's the thing about animals. And another thing about the lack of intelligence of humans is animals can sense our feelings. You know, they know when we're happy, they know when we're sad, anxious, or just super energetic. These animals sense that and they're like, you need me.
Mm-hmm.
I can help you through your anxiety. I can help you through your sad days.
Mm-hmm.
And they really can. You have to be open-minded, open-hearted to accept that and understand that. They know nothing of nothing, just what we teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And the more love and respect that we give them, the more they give back.
Oh my gosh, this is so good. It's so true. I'm like sitting here going, yes, yes. I've always said, we have a St. Bernard right now named Dewey, but my two prior, and the only dogs I've ever had were German Shepherds. And I would say those dogs they knew my soul.
They do.
I knew theirs. I mean, they just, it's incredible. But everything you're saying is just, wow, it's so true.
It's a connection. And it starts out at any age. You know, once you show them, like, for instance, one of my clients over one street over, their older dog passed away and they decided that they were going to adopt. We don't know what kind of past this dog has or has had. Dogs can have PTSD just like we can. They can have social anxiety. They can have anxiety. They can have severe depression. So I don't know this dog's background. And what I have to do with him is, hey, I'm here for the positive. From here on out, we're going to have great days and you're going to love it. I promise you. And I can only assume that this dog did have a bad life because he wound up in an animal shelter.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. You know, he was given up on and that hurts. You know, when we feel like when we're given up on, we hurt. We're like, oh, I wasn't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how they feel and they can't tell us, but they do with their eyes. We're like, oh, okay. You pulled the heartstrings.
Yeah.
So they know us. whether we realize it or not, they know our feelings. They know what's going on. I mean, think about it. Look at these guys.
I know.
They are in high heaven. Even a little bit over here is like, you know, yeah, I'm not getting all this love, but I feel the environment is relaxed. We're comfortable. And she's comfortable.
Oh, she is. I mean, unbelievably just totally comfortable. And I'm just in awe of Mr. Frank over there.
He's definitely, the more amped up we are. Now, if I was to change my tone to a more exciting and go into a party tone, I'm going to amp them up. Because they're like, hey, what? We're partying? Right. All right, let's go. Or if I'm really sad, if I, you know, tear up, whatever. I won't even have to say anything to them, and they're going to look at me. It's going to be okay. And they're going to come over and try to console me. Mm-hmm. The only way they know how. Affection.
Yeah.
Rub on me. Rub on me until I feel the tension gone. So, I mean, the best advice is pick that animal. Not necessarily you pick it. Let it pick you. Based on your feelings, your energy levels, if you're all, 100 miles an hour, that dog's going to find you. He's going to be 100 miles an hour. But remember, when you get that dog that's 100 miles an hour, you got to maintain that 100 miles an hour to a level of respect of when he's doing his zoomies and you say sit, he sits. You got to build that bond and that rapport between you and your now best friend, because that's all they want is to be your best friend. And the funny thing is a lot of people don't know this. They love you more than they love themselves.
I believe that.
I do too.
They believe that.
Dogs will lay down their life for you.
Exactly. Why? Because they know that you would do it for them.
Oh, isn't this a great episode already?
This is so good. I know, Heather, this is fantastic.
Love it. Jonathan, so many people, are either like pro shock collar or no shock collar. Jonathan helped me train my animals with shock collars, and it was a fantastic tool. But he taught me how to use it properly. Do you want to talk about that?
Let's first talk about training, and then we can get into the
specific
category of the tools that are necessary for your dog, because every dog is different, just like every person is different. So I'm not your average trainer by far. Sometimes I feel like I need to wear a helmet, and the dogs are like, I agree. So why am I different is, there's so many different reasons. I don't use treats. Treats are a reward. Not necessarily. They could be a snack. Mm-hmm. We don't want to reward them. Just be good. Let's have a good walk.
Yeah.
That's their reward. Thank you for taking me around 17 blocks and let me enjoy the whole world. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of talking to them. That's what they want to hear.
Yeah.
They want to be a part of your training program. When you make it interesting, fun, and stimulating to them, you have their 100% divided attention. So I use, how would you say, less intelligent would say a choke chain, but the proper term would be a lead chain. Why do I choose that? Because with every tug or direction of the tug with my leash and the lead chain, I'm giving a certain command and I'm telling them here, heel, sit, and I don't really teach down. Why? If somebody tells me to lay down, I'm going to look at them like, what? They can do that when they get comfortable. Now, if you feel like you have to have control of your dog, 1,000% of the time, you teach it what you want. But remember, what you teach it means everything. They can learn so many different words. I do a lot of talking to them. Everything is repetition. Every so often, I'll give them a treat because why not? If I want a snack, I'm just going to go get one. They can't get it. I don't treat them as dogs. I treat them as if they're my kids. I want them to be a part of my day. And when they are, guess what? They're so well behaved.
Right.
Now, let's not forget that they are animals. They do have animal instincts. Their sense of smell is amazing. And we got to take that in consideration. Yeah, they smell bird, especially if it's a bird dog. You smell that bird?
Yeah.
That's a dove. Is it dove season, Dad? Is it dove? And they want to go get it. Or if they see, say Sarah in the park, a little fancy golden retriever or a Boston Terrier, and they go, hey, Sarah, and they want to take off running. Well, there's cars and stuff.
Yeah.
You can't control that with a treat. They're like, Sarah's here.
Right.
Have you seen her golden locks? My gosh. So lead chain's really not going to work. I like to be able to walk my dogs off leash at my side and have a good walk because it's just them and I. Shock collar comes into play because all you want to do is make them put on the thinking cap. Hey guys, going on a good walk today. Let's behave and enjoy our walk. And nobody gets ran over by a car or attacked by, well, who we thought was Sarah, but was actually Steve and he bites. So we just enjoy our walk together. Here he'll sit. It's just basic commands. Here, come to the general area. Heels, which is back and to the left, which is old hunting standpoint. You know, if you were right-handed, you go to shoot, get your dog to heel on the left. He drops the bird in your hand, you put it in your bag, and you never have to set down your gun. But you could also teach them, you know, to heel to the right as well, depending on whatever one you want. Once you get those three basic commands, your dog's brain is now working 1 million times harder than it used to, maybe even 2-3 weeks ago, right? With it from when we started. And then you're looking out the window, waiting, where is my teacher? Because he teaches me a lot.
So Jonathan, tell the audience again what the three basic
here,
heel,
sit.
And sit.
Mm-hmm. Here, come to the general area where I'm calling you. Mm-hmm. Heel, come to the left side or the right, whichever you choose. And what it is their chest does not go past your knee. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then this is a deal where if something happens, you're not tripping over them
right. Forward
or backward. So, and then they still get full visual of everything that you say. I mean, face it, they want to protect us. Like, hey, you know, remember Steve at the park?
Yeah.
Charlie's here now, and that guy is bigger and he's stronger, Mom. So you let me take lead, and it doesn't matter what size your dog is. He wants to defend you, yeah. And he will protect you with his life.
That's such a good point. You know, it's so true.
And I will say that Jonathan, when Frankie walks with Jonathan, he follows all those rules. Then when he walks with me, he's like, is Jonathan here?
Yeah.
But I do feel like, and I try to do everything Jonathan has taught me, but I do feel like what Jonathan's saying is true. And sometimes Frank wants to protect me. So he tends to go out a little further.
Leading. So he's being alpha. Hey, Mom, I'm working the crowd.
Gotcha. That's something I've shared with Jonathan because Jonathan's, you know, make sure that you're keeping him close. You know, you're keeping him.
And, you know, same thing with cats. Curiosity killed the cat. Well, yeah. Sometimes it kills the dog too.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they'll sense things way before we do. And that's we're like, true. Why is his hair up?
Yeah.
And you don't see anything, but he smells it. He's like, Mom, we need to be careful.
Right.
And I always tell everybody, you know, if you have an animal and you are walking in the park or at night, or, you know, you have to take a dark alley because, you know, whatever reason, if your dog is alerting, listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
You go the opposite direction. You know, he's only protecting you. He's saying, hey, Mom, this dark alley, there's something down here. We shouldn't go down it.
Yeah.
Their instinct for us, let's just say this. This is our real life guardian angel in all aspects in life. When we are sad, he's going to come here and say, hey, love on me. We can put this in many different forms.
What a beautiful way to say that. I love that. Our real life guardian angel.
Our
physical. I can see our little dog wanting to, you know, help us. So that's really special. Well, talk to us a little bit, Jonathan, about food, because, you know, this is one of the things I've always wondered, like, do I have to spend, you know, a lot of money on my dog so he has to get the best because, you know, it's his digestion. And like, is kibble better? Is, you know, canned food is like over the, now they have like real, they call it what, like fresh, like
fresh pet.
Yes. Like real like,
farmer's what, dog.
Does it matter? What
I have to be careful on answering this because a lot of it is just, you know, marketing and sales.
That's a good point.
Which upsets me because one brand that I used to use forever has been horrible.
Mm.
I can't say the brand.
Sure.
But
right.
Has been horrible. And I have to tell people, And they're like, well, why is my dog, you know, why does it have dandruff? Or why is it shedding excessively? Wrong dog food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gut health is number one. You take care of their gut and it takes care of their skin and their coat. So like humans, we have to, you know, if we have allergies and so forth and so on, we have to watch what we eat.
Yeah.
So you have to judge it according to your dog. What are your dog's symptoms? Does your dog even have any symptoms? Do you have to buy your dog the best? No, you can make it. You know, if you really want the best, make it.
Yeah.
And let your dog sit there and watch you make it. You know, how do you make it? You know, rice, chicken, you know, you could put whatever kind of kibble you want, except for Oleroy or anything. Just stay away from the cheaper stuff, okay?
You know, we used to do that when I was growing up. And I never really asked my mom why, but we used to make our dogs their food. She called it some sort of mush or mm-hmm. whatever, but it had all those things in there.
You know, eggs and... When I was helping out with show huskies, we put whole eggs, shell and all. And then you could see them like right before they get ready for the show, absolutely gorgeous. And they wouldn't have to do anything, just brush their hair, maybe trim some spots, but their teeth were always beautiful white. Their eyes were just great. You know, when they would go in and check their eyes, never any issues. And then you see that market go down when the food quality goes down.
Really?
And see? Then you see these dogs, you know, getting more allergies, more hot spots, which are lick sores, especially during this time of season, spring, and then summer, it'll get even worse. So you have to watch the food. Do your research. You know, you might have three or four people that say, oh, this is bad. Just because it's three or four people, take that in consideration. Well, I got 90 that says it's good, and then I got four or five that say it's bad. Well, look into what they're saying, why it's bad, you know, because it could affect your dog, depending on what breed of dog you have. Now, if you have a golden doodle, mini doodle, standard doodle, what a labradoodle, and they got so many doodles.
They do have so many doodles.
They're not, you know, they're supposed to be hyperallergenic, and they don't get allergies. They don't shed. Well, lately, because of the food, you see these breeds shedding and getting allergies. You're like,
I didn't know that. Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Dory, that's my favorite dog. One of them. No, I said one of them. Hold on. Don't cover his ears. And he even looked like, what did you say that for?
I do love Dory.
So definitely when you're choosing a food, don't do a lot of processed food. Processed food, just like, I mean, if we eat the same thing every day, we're going to be feeling bad. You know, exactly. Like hamburgers, hot dogs, we're going to feel bad. They will too. I always like to switch it up every so often, especially like with the allergies that we see. Science diet, sensitive stomach and sensitive skin will definitely help them. You'll see a big change and you'll see your dog actually starting to liven up. You don't have to feed it the full recommended amount. You can use that as a filler to your fresh pet or whatever processed food you want. But just make sure that they do have that kibble in there. One, they like the crunch. Two, it's good for the jaws, right? And if it's a really good food, it's good for the little noggins, right? So do your research according to the dog breed that you get.
Okay, that's great.
Or have, if that makes any sense. All right? Right, Frank. Yeah, Frankie, four fingers. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, so there's a lot of wonderings out there because just listening to you, Jonathan, and your passion about how you approach training, what's some best tips on how to really find a good trainer? Because our audience may be here in Texas. They might be in a different state. Mm-hmm. What are some things that are really important when they're trying? Because not one size doesn't fit all.
Mm-mm. I honestly could not tell you how to find a trainer. When you're looking, make sure that you, for one, feel comfortable with this person. They're asking all the right questions, you know, because they are an extension of our family. So, and they typically pick up on the personalities of one person in the family. So you just want them to ask the right questions. Okay, this one's kind of a little, you know, he's a little bit of a nut. So who's the nut in the house? Oh, well, our youngest daughter. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, your youngest daughter is going to have to slow down her nuttiness around him so that they can, you know, enjoy the household or when company comes over and you're not screaming at your dog like you would your kid, you know.
Right.
Why are you bouncing off the walls? Well, when choosing that trainer, just make sure they're asking all the right questions. Make sure that your dog feels comfortable with them. Mm. Okay. Not a whole, you know, it's not a treat-based training. I mean, do what you want, but treat-based training is not good. Okay. You're teaching the dog bad behavior. And not only that, but I watch these people treat these dogs and it's like, I don't know if it learned how to sit, but it definitely gained 15 pounds while I've been watching this training.
Right, right.
You know, and when you're doing that, that can create a lot of health issues. Treats are made to give every so often, not for a whole 35, 40 minutes, whatever their hour or, you know, their training hour, maybe. Again, there's so many trainers out there, businesses that have trainers within that business. I can't speak for them all. I do what I do because it's a passion, not a career. You know, if I chose this as a career, I'd be pretty bad off. So make sure it's, you know, somebody that's passionate about what they're doing.
Jonathan, what would the signs be of, I mean, you and I have known a bad dog walker. Mm-hmm. Jonathan, I had both witnessed and experienced over at our park. We have a park across from our home and Jonathan had to experience a dog attack with a child. And thank goodness Jonathan was there because he was able to settle things down and he can talk about that more. But someone was comfortable leaving their animal with this person that was a very bad person. We found out later was a very bad person. And it broke my heart for that dog because that dog had to be put down. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan's heart broke because of the dog. And he said the poor dog was probably in a bad environment. And then this dog walker was most likely abusing him. Maybe the family knew, maybe the family didn't know, had no idea. But if you're paying attention to your animals and your animals obviously can't talk, what kind of signs would your animal be giving you around that person?
So cowering, of course, trying to hide from that person, you know, especially if they're moving their hands, you know, kind of talking with their hands and the dog's like reacting. Oh, and aggressiveness. You can sense that within a person, you know, just talking to them, you're like, well, yeah, you're really angry about life. You know, those are most definitely the signs. Watch your dog. Your dog's going to tell you everything. If they're not willing to greet him at the door and they're running in the opposite direction,
right. That's a sign.
That dog is more than likely just a paycheck to this guy and this person. Just watch them, you know, watch your dog.
And that goes for groomers as well, right?
Groomers as well. Yes.
When my dog was acting strange mm-hmm. around a groomer and I kept thinking, why are they so resistant to go? And I don't know for sure, but I kind of sensed that on a personal level and then switched groomers.
But also taking consideration, dogs can be manipulative.
Sure.
And they can be little drama queens. Mm-hmm. But if you are into your dog and you're, you know, dog sitting in your lap and you're rubbing it and it yelps and you're like, what happened? Check that spot out. More than likely it's been hit, hurt, kicked, whatever. Same with the groomer. I've seen him, you know, get so frustrated and put that leash on him and choke him.
Yeah.
To submission. Well, now you just scared that animal. We're not trying to scare them. We want to have fun with them. Mm-hmm. They're our babies. And if you don't like animals, you're not allowed to at my house. This is point blank. You know, if you don't like animals, then you're not allowed around my animals.
No.
And if I'm walking through the park and I see you acting strange around, like I've had it with Frank, mm-hmm. a guy, oh God, your dog's going to attack me. No, it hasn't even jumped up at you.
Yeah.
You know, we're sharing the sidewalk. You can calm down and relax.
Yeah.
Over dramatic people. Definitely, you know, check your dog over if you see it acting goofy or different, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But if you see them at the window and they're waiting on your trainer every day, you might have found the right person.
Right. They're happy.
Just make sure that they're not doing all this with treats. And a lot of people like to use paddles and not like they're, you know, paddling your kid, but what they do is they use them to guide them in
life. Guide.
It's not really the correct way. Talking to your animal and helping it understand what each word means, they're not dumb by far. They listen to us speak all day long. So they're listening. And then once we start grabbing a cup or piece of paper and we say, oh, I need to grab the paper, and the dog's watching your every move, he knows, oh, that's a paper. Well, next time I'm going to eat it, you know,
right.
Or,
well, they know the word. I mean, if I say W-A-L-K, if I just say that, they're boop, jumped up at the door.
And it's been all by repetition.
Right. Just every
repetition.
Day.
And a lot of people don't even know this, is you are actually training your dog inside. Okay. Everything that you say, if I were to say, you know, I'm going to go get a drink, and I start to move, they're going to get up and go to the sink. They're like, all right, we want a drink.
Right.
You know? Or I'm really hungry. They're going to beat you to the pantry. What are we going to get? I hope you drop something, you know? So definitely, you know, make sure somebody that's passionate about what they do, and it's not just a paycheck. And it's sadly these days, that's all it's been. It's just people wanting a paycheck. And I see them, I'm like,
right. Well, because our dogs are with us more than they ever were in the past. They're not just something for the backyard people take them to restaurants. People take them, you know, they're sitting in chairs with them. They're, or lying below, or you see them everywhere. They're in the grocery store. You go into Home Depot or Lowe's and the dogs are there. And of course, into your, you know, PetSmarts or Petcos. I mean, they're all, our animals are, our dogs are, you know, everywhere now.
Everywhere. Which is good, because, you know, if you think 10, 15 years back, a lot of them were just chained up in the yard.
Yes.
Or just let go out in the front and be like, okay, you watch the property and I'll throw a bowl out for you. I love seeing people interact with their animals a lot more, because they are more than just animals.
Yes.
They are, again, I can't emphasize this enough, they are our guardian angels.
It's so true. That's what a great statement. Is there a breed that goes better with certain, you know, if I have young kids, or if I have older kids, or if I'm just by myself, you know, everybody's gone, I'm a quiet. Are there breeds that go with certain lifestyles better than one or the other? Or is that just a myth?
Again, this is based on your personality and your behavior. I wouldn't say there's one breed better than the other, because it's what you teach them. You know, if you want to teach them a rock star lifestyle, they're going to have that lifestyle. They're going to be rambunctious and ready, you know, gung-ho about everything they do. Or if you want to have a relaxing one, then you get a relaxing lifestyle. So, no, I love all breeds. It doesn't matter. It's funny. I just communicate with them. This is what makes it different, me different than other trainers. I don't care. I love them. And they know I love them. And they're like, hey, this guy speaks to dogs, so we want him. It is funny, you know, I could walk by, I don't know how many dogs that are in the park. If there's 20 of them, they're all going to stop and look at me like, hey, dog talker.
That's true. You've seen it in action.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're looking for a trainer, scout your local parks, you know, watch some of these trainers and, you know, see how they interact with these dogs, and, you know, don't get busted. Be a peeping Tom, but don't get busted.
Check it out.
It out and do research in what you're dropping your kid off to, or who's coming to pick your kid up. That's me. They're kids. They're my kids.
Yeah.
And I don't consider them dogs. I don't consider them animals, even though they are. I don't consider them that. I think they're my babies. And when I talk to them, they listen. Yeah. So the more you communicate with your dog, this is a must. Even if you don't want to get a trainer, and you want to do this yourself, communicate with your dog. Let it know what you like and what you don't like. If, you know, if it's doing something, snatching your shoe up, let them know it's unacceptable. No, take that shoe away, replace it with something positive. Hey, instead of chewing up that shoe, let me take you for a walk, whether it's around the house, backyard, front yard, or up and down the block. Talk to it the whole time. Hey, just be easy. Be cool. You know, we're going to have a good walk. That's all they want, is to be a part of your time. Mm-hmm. Anybody can train a dog. Anybody can. I hear it all the time. No, I can't. Well, slow down in life.
That's what most people don't want to do.
No.
Yeah. No. So they don't. They don't.
They want you to do it.
They want you to do the hard work. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's not really hard. And I see this in a lot of homes. Well, why doesn't my dog like me? you're kind of a jerk. You know, and I'm not trying to be mean, but you are. You know, this is your personality. And your dog reads that and is like, I don't want you petting me. For instance, I have had one client that spoke to his dogs very aggressively, demanded everything from them, right? I mean, I was like, I quit. If you ever talk to me like that, I'd walk out and be like, sorry. And I see that in the dog, like, hey, bro, I want to quit this guy.
Yeah. Let me get out of here.
Yeah. Can you walk me? And before we finished, I said, hey, can you be a little bit, you know, more receptive? And I would like for you to leave the aggression out of this. You don't have to talk so aggressively or heavily. I said, talk to them as if they're your kid. I was like, whoa. If you talk to your dog that way, you probably talk to your kid that way. So right. Can I get you just to relax and understand that they just want your love? They don't want to be yelled at. They don't want to feel like they're in the military. Just talk to them. He said, okay. And the daughter was sitting there and she's like, oh my God. I said, what? This is the first time I've ever seen my dad talk so softly and sweetly. And look, the dogs are responding. I said, you only have to talk aggressive when you need to.
Right.
You know, that's like if they're going out to the road, no, here. And you give them a good aggressive, right. Oh,
that gets
I was
their
about
attention.
To do something bad. If you talk to them like that all the time, they're going to be constantly scared to do anything with you.
It's like white noise.
And they're going to, yeah, exactly. And they're going to try to figure out every way to get away from you during training. That's a lot.
Right.
I just want to love you and you just want to yell at me. Do your research in trainers. Go to your local parks. Me personally, you do what you want. I don't believe in dropping your dog off at a facility and have it trained for 2-3 months. Again, you do what you want. This is your pet. Training starts at home because that's where you need it the most. Training it at a facility, because I've done it for so many years. The biggest question is like, well, I sent it off for training. How do I get it to respond at home? Well, it was trained at a facility, so it knows how to behave at a facility.
Right.
What was your interaction with that training? I went like once a week. No, this is an everyday deal. If I'm training, you need to be trained. When I leave, you pick up. You know, it's not like when your kids get out of school, you're going to make them do their homework when they get home, right? That's because it's your job to make sure that they're doing their learnings. Same thing with the kids or with the dogs. So again, go to your parks. Check out your trainers. Talk to them. If you feel comfortable talking to them and you can have a good conversation and they're not trying to rush away from you or, hey, I got to get Billy Bob back. They're pretty passionate about what they do.
Oh my gosh. This has been such a wonderful episode. Heather, did we miss anything?
We could ask Jonathan. Like I said, I could ask Jonathan a thousand questions because animals are so interesting. And I'm always asking him, you know, the question about the breeds, like going back to the breeds. And like Jonathan says, it really is the dog and the environment. And then, but Jonathan will also say, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, when he came into our home and we have these two French bulldogs, Jonathan has experience with French bulldogs. He's trained lots of French bulldogs. And he was like, well, let's see what we have here because he has a certain experience with them. But wouldn't you say, you know, you kind of got a different response from Frankie. Like he was a little bit different. He wasn't like some of the other dogs. I mean, I'm thinking about breeds and what's best for families. And that was kind of enlightening to me. I don't know. Would you disagree? I mean,
what type of response do you think he had? Let me ask that before I can answer.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, I really didn't think, I mean, this is why I was so amazed with what Jonathan brought to our family and what he brought to me and really to me, because I'm the one that spends time walking them and sharing that time. But I kind of had this kind of low standard of what they could do because of their breed. Okay. I just thought, well, you know, they'll be able to do this. And if they don't just scratch up my door, I'll be happy. And then, you know, if Jonathan can help me say the right things, do the right things and tell me the things not to do, then, you know, I'll be happy with that. And that's kind of what my expectation was.
Right.
But he gave me a whole nother level of trust with my animals. So it was just eye-opening to me. Like it's the first time you walk with Frankie and you walk down the road with him off leash, I almost passed out. I was just like, what?
My son is growing up right in front of my eyes.
I wanted to cry. I was like, what? But you can elaborate on that because that was huge for me.
The biggest perceptive that people have of dogs is they're just dogs. And again, when you talk to them and you build that trust level. Now you say, I taught you how to trust your dog. More or less, it was, I showed you the tools so that you could build the trust level between you and your dog and say, hey, I know you're not just a dog now.
Right.
You're a pretty intelligent little being.
Mm-hmm.
And him working with you allowed you to build up the trust in him. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. You're a pretty smart guy. And I'm sorry that I didn't give you that
respect.
Respect and acknowledgement, you know, before. And now that I see it, I'm like, oh wow. I mean, because your dogs didn't go through extensive training.
No.
I don't put them through a lot of pressure. Now they might have got his toes stepped on, but that was on accident, you know. and he still hasn't forgiven me for it. Oh. But yet, it always starts with the owner. Always. Because again, open up your mind. They're not just animals. The more you teach it, the more it's going to be a part of you and be willing to please you. They don't want to disobey us all the time. They don't know any better.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, a kid in kindergarten, you know, can't expect them to do their ABCs, even though it's, you know, been 3 days. Well, wait a minute. Why isn't it learning? Mm-hmm. Everything is repetition. Just like us, we had to learn through repetition.
Right.
We did so many ABCs, you know, same thing with them. They're going to do so many sits. Your expectations were either met or exceeded because you finally opened up your mind to, wow, they really can learn all this. They really can learn all this. And
that was a big deal for me.
When I grew up, my parents never let us have an animal in the house. And that's all I ever wanted. I wanted my animals in the house. I wanted my dog in the house, cat in the house. No. Now, if you went to my parents' house, they do both. They have dogs and cats in the house. But my husband, the Bobby dude, on the other hand, his mom had dogs in the house all the time. And they were part of the family. And I loved it. And we have always embraced that because they are our kids. That's what we've always said. We have a fifth child, or we have this is our kid. But it goes back to what you said, which is if you treat them, if you just speak to them, I know Dewey knows exactly what I'm saying.
He definitely does.
And he watches things that go by. Like if I roll my suitcase, he just pouts in the corner.
Yes, he knows.
He knows.
Mom's leaving. This is
yes.
Anarchy. I wanted to go with you, Mom.
Yes.
Where's my suitcase?
It's true. He just pouts and he goes and sits in the corner and just does, you know, the St. Bernard look, the paws, the face between the paws.
And the tongue.
Yes. And the tongue.
Yeah.
The tongue. Yes. Heather has experienced the Dewey tongue.
The Dewey tongue.
It's not small enough.
It doesn't go in his mouth.
No, it's too big for his mouth. But oh my gosh, what a joy today. This has been so much fun. Would you come back again for another episode?
Like absolutely. Sometime
now? Oh my gosh, this has been great. So if somebody had a question, Jonathan, they wanted to just say, I just want to ask somebody, like, is there a way that somebody could reach out to you? Like with a question? If they were in the Dallas area, they could even, you know, training or anything like that. How would somebody do that?
Just take my phone number down, which is 469-337-5916. Best way to reach me that way is text.
Okay.
I very seldom answer my phone because I'm so busy. But yeah, you can text me and I'll be happy to answer any and all questions to the best of my abilities.
That sounds amazing. And guys, if you miss that, we will put that in the show notes so you will have Jonathan's number. But wow, what an informative time together this morning. What a joy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we know you have a busy afternoon. Your daughter's going to the prom and all that. So he's got
his other family members to worry about. You've got to get Jonathan home so you can get this daughter ready for prom.
Thank you. Thank you. Heather, thank you for putting this all together.
Yes, thank you. It's been such a pleasure sitting here chatting about a passion and not a job.
Yes, yeah. Right. This is fun.
You definitely have your salt. You are living your best salt life.
Yes, I am. I definitely am. And sometimes it takes a dramatic eye opener to do it. And unfortunately it did. And I'm 2 years strong on my own, without a company, and mine and my pets, we're living our best life.
Hey,
that's all we can ask for. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for another episode of Salt Sisters, where I get to have fun with my best friend, Heather. And we get to interview some really cool people like Jonathan. So we wish everybody listening a great rest of your week. And please, 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 this is just a testimony to, you know, find your salt, find your passion, and let it support your abundant living today and every day. So signing off for us, Heather.
Signing off.
Yeah, Jonathan, we're all saying peace out, I guess, today.
Well, thank you.
And let's go love on our pets.
I'm telling
let's
you.
Let's go love on our dogs. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Amanda Rollard Show, a podcast to get your salt back. Share this episode with a friend and tag us on Instagram. See you next time.